ever pick up like something, like your phone or a car part and just think, how'd they even make
All
this?
right.
We're gonna go dup on that today.
Yeah.
Die casting and injection molding.
To the biggest?
These are the processes behind so many of the things that we use every day.
Absolutely.
And we've got some really cool sources for this one. I think a good mix of technical stuff, but also some really cool insider stories from someone who's worked with both processes.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's not just about shaping the material.
Right.
It's about choosing the right material to begin with. And
Yeah.
there's a whole world of options.
It's easy to just think metal or plastic,
Yeah,
right?
it's so much more specific than that.
Yeah.
Die casting uses metals like zinc, aluminum, magnesium, each with its own personality, you could say.
Huh.
And then with injection molding, that's where the polymers come in. So things like polyethylene, ABS, and a whole bunch more. Each one is suited for specific jobs.
So it's like a materials menu,
Yeah.
but often do you know which ingredient to choose?
Well, think about it this way. Each material has these built-in properties that determine how the final product is going to act.
Okay.
So, for example, aluminum is super lightweight, but it's also very strong for its weight. And that's why it's huge in car manufacturing. Lighter cars mean better fuel efficiency.
It's so important these days.
Huge deal.
So it's not just about looks, it's really about performance too.
Exactly. And the thinking applies across the board. Take zinc, for instance. It's got high ductility,
Okay.
meaning that it can bend without snapping.
Oh, interesting.
Makes it great for parts that need to be flexible, or magnesium.
Yeah.
The lightest structural metal out there.
Wow.
So it's perfect when weight is a major factor.
So the choice of material really kind of sets the stage for the whole process.
It's the foundation.
Yeah.
But then we get to the real action,
Okay.
temperature and pressure.
Oh.
These are the unsung heroes of manufacturing.
I was going to say, our source mentioned some pretty intense temperatures involved here.
Die casting. We're talking over 1,000 degrees Celsius molten metal.
Wow.
To put that in perspective, that's hot enough to melt gold.
Okay, that is seriously hot.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that injection molding is a bit more manageable.
Relatively speaking, yes.
Okay.
We're looking at 150 to 300 degrees Celsius.
Okay.
Still hot enough to burn you,
Sure.
but nowhere near as extreme.
So why the massive difference? It can't just be because one's metal and one's plastic.
Well, it's all about getting that material
Yeah.
to the right consistency for molding.
Okay.
Think about it like cooking. You wouldn't bake a cake
Right.
at the same temperature that you sear a steak.
Makes sense.
It's the same principle. It's just on an industrial scale.
Okay.
And then there's pressure.
Okay.
So die casting uses incredibly high pressure.
Right.
It forces that molten metal into every tiny detail of the mold.
Yeah.
That's what gives die cast parts that smooth, almost polished look.
Yeah, they look like they've been buffed already.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And because it's under so much pressure, that metal cools and solidifies really quickly, making really precise and really durable parts. So it's this high pressure, high temperature combo
Right?
that makes die casting the go-to for any parts that need to be tough as nails.
High pressure for die casting equals strength and detail.
Yes.
What about injection molding?
Injection molding uses lower pressure
Okay.
because polymers just don't need as much force to flow into that mold.
Got it.
And this is what allows for those more delicate, thin-walled parts
Okay.
that you see in electronics and consumer goods. Think about the casing of your phone.
Yeah.
It's intricate, it's lightweight, it probably has some flex to it.
Right.
That's injection molding at work.
It sounds like the molds themselves. It
Yes.
must be pretty amazing to handle all of
Oh,
this.
they are, absolutely.
Yeah.
Our source had some wild stories
I bet.
about the challenges of designing these molds.
Yeah.
They're kind of like the unsung heroes of this
Okay.
whole process.
Yeah.
In fact, the next part of our deep dive is going to focus entirely
Okay.
on the incredible world of mold design.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
But before we go there, I'm curious. If both of these processes can create such detailed parts, what makes them different in the end? Like, what makes a designer choose
Yeah.
one over the other?
That's where the magic happens.
Okay.
It's all about understanding the strengths of each process
Okay.
and matching them to the needs of that final product.
Okay.
That's what we'll uncover in the next part of our deep dive.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, we are back and ready to dive into this world of mold design. I'm already picturing these super intricate, high-tech contraptions.
Yeah, it's easy to overlook the mold itself,
Right.
but it really is the heart of both die casting and injection molding. It's
Oh.
like the blueprint that
Right.
determines the final shape. the details, even the texture of the object.
So where do you even begin with something like that? What are some of the big challenges when it comes to designing these molds?
Well, with die casting, you're dealing with molten metal at these crazy high temperatures, right?
Right.
So the mold has to be able to not only contain that molten metal,
yeah,
but also withstand those temperatures without warping or getting damaged.
That makes sense. You can't exactly use any old material for that.
No, you can't. It's like building a furnace.
Right.
That can also make perfect copies of a tiny object.
Wow.
So the molds for die casting are almost always made from high-strength steel.
Okay, but steel is a pretty good conductor of heat.
Yeah.
So wouldn't that make it hard to control the cooling process?
You're absolutely right. And that's why the design gets even more ingenious.
Okay.
They actually have to incorporate these elaborate cooling channels within the mold itself.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of like giving the mold its own internal air conditioning system to make sure that that metal cools evenly and quickly.
Clever.
Yeah.
And I imagine pressure plays a big role, too. Mm. We're talking about forcing molten metal into very precise shapes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The mold has to be strong enough to withstand that incredible pressure.
Right.
But it also has to allow air to escape as that cavity fills up with metal.
Okay.
Otherwise, you end up with these air pockets trapped inside.
Oh.
And that would compromise the strengths of the final part.
So it's a balancing act.
It is.
Between strength and permeability.
Exactly. Huh. And remember, we're talking about very intricate molds here with tiny details and complex shapes.
Yeah.
The designers have to think about how to get that molten metal to flow into every nook and cranny.
Wow.
Without causing any defects.
Yeah.
It's like designing a super efficient highway system for liquid metal.
I'm starting to understand why our source called mold design an art form.
It really is.
Yeah.
And while the challenges are different for injection molding, the level of ingenuity is just as impressive.
So how does mold design for injection molding differ from die casting?
Well, for starters, you're dealing with lower temperatures.
Right.
And lower pressures. So there's more flexibility in terms of what materials you can use for the mold itself.
Got it.
You see everything from aluminum to specialized plastics being used for injection molding.
So it's less about finding materials that can withstand extreme conditions.
Yeah.
And more about finding materials that can create the desired texture and detail.
You got it. But don't let those lower temperatures fool you.
Okay.
Injection molding mold can get just as complex as those used in die casting.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They often have to incorporate these ejector pins to help release the part from the mold once it's cooled.
Okay.
And sometimes even moving parts to create intricate features like undercuts or threads.
Wow. So they're like little machines themselves.
They really are.
Yeah.
And here's something that might surprise you.
Okay.
The choice of mold material can actually influence the surface finish of the final product.
Okay, I did not think about that. How so?
Well, think about those smooth, almost polished die-cast parts.
Right.
Now that super smooth finish is partly due to that high pressure of the process, but it's also influenced by that smooth, hard surface of the steel mold itself.
So you're saying if you used a different mold material, you might get a different surface texture.
Exactly. And with injection molding, you have even more options. You can use textured molds to create parts with specific tactile qualities.
Okay.
Think about like the soft touch finish on some electronics
or
the grip on a toothbrush handle.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's all thanks to clever mold design.
It's amazing how much thought goes into every little detail. It's making me appreciate the objects around me on a whole new level.
Yeah, it really highlights the expertise and the creativity that goes into manufacturing.
Yeah.
And we're really just scratching the surface here.
I'm ready to dig deeper.
Okay.
What else can you tell us about the incredible things these processes can achieve? My brain is officially overflowing with mold knowledge.
Yeah.
I'm ready to see how all of this translates into the actual stuff that we use every single day.
All right, let's bring it all together. Then with some real world examples.
Oh.
Imagine you're holding your smartphone.
Uh-huh.
The casing, the buttons.
Yeah.
That tiny little camera lens housing.
Yeah.
All of those intricate parts are often made using injection molding.
Makes sense. You need that detail and the lightweight materials.
Exactly. Injection molding is perfect for applications where precision and complex shapes are key.
Okay.
And it's not just electronics. Think about toys, medical devices, even those like super organized storage containers that we all love.
Yeah.
They can be molded in one shot with hinges and compartments all built in. It's pretty remarkable.
That's a good visual, I think. For injection molding.
Yeah.
What about die casting? What kind of products make me go, oh, that's kind of die cast?
Think about the last time you opened a car door.
Okay.
That sturdy handle, built to withstand years of use.
Yeah.
That's likely a die cast part.
Huh.
It needs that strength, that durability,
yeah,
and the ability to handle all those cycles of pulling and pushing.
Right.
Plus, it has that smooth, almost polished finish.
Yeah.
That comes naturally from the die casting process.
It's funny. I never really thought about how the manufacturing process affects the look and feel of something as simple as a door handle.
Yeah, it's everywhere once you start noticing it.
Yeah.
Die casting is also the go-to for critical components under the hood.
Okay.
Like engine blocks, transmission housings, parts that experience high stress and heat.
Wow.
It's even used in medical implants, where strength and precision are absolutely vital.
So we've got injection molding for the detailed lightweight stuff, and die casting for the tough load-bearing parts. It's like they each have their own superpower.
That's a great way to put it. And the coolest part is, both of these processes are constantly evolving.
Really?
There are some incredible innovations happening right now that are pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
Ooh, give me that inside scoop.
Okay, well, on the injection molding side, there's a big movement towards using bio-based polymers.
Okay.
So instead of those traditional petroleum-based plastics, these are made from renewable resources, like plants.
So it's like getting that same functionality, but with a lower environmental impact.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a huge step towards sustainability.
Awesome.
And then in the world of die casting, researchers are working with magnesium alloys.
Okay.
So even lighter than aluminum.
Wow.
But with fantastic strength to weight ratios.
I can see that being a game changer for industries that are really obsessed with weight, like aerospace or high performance vehicles.
Absolutely. Lighter planes use less fuel. Faster cars accelerate quicker.
Yeah.
That is ripple effect.
Right.
And these are just a couple of examples. There's constant exploration into new materials, new designs, new ways to combine these processes with other manufacturing techniques.
So it's not just about die casting versus injection molding.
Right.
It's about how they fit into this bigger picture of making stuff.
Exactly. It's like an orchestra.
Huh.
Each process playing its part.
Yeah.
To create that final product.
That's cool.
And as consumers, understanding these processes helps us appreciate the ingenuity and craftsmanship behind the things we use every day.
Right.
Next time you pick up your phone or get into your car, you'll have a whole new level of awareness of the journey that those objects took to get to you.
You know, I used to think that manufacturing was all about giant machines and assembly lines.
Yeah.
But this deep dive has totally changed my perspective.
Yeah.
There's so much creativity, problem solving, even artistry involved.
There really is. It's a world of hidden marvels,
mm-hmm.
and it's all around us.
Yeah.
And the objects we take for granted every single day.
It's true.
I hope this deep dive has sparked a little curiosity in you.
It definitely has. I'm already looking at everything differently.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much for taking us on this incredible journey.
My pleasure. Keep exploring and keep asking, how did they make that? You never know what you might discover.